Hello and welcome to the Wednesday, July 18th, 2012 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. About 3 months ago, vulnerability was discovered in Kindle's Fire, and actually the vulnerability was discussed in a forum, but nobody really paid attention. In part, I guess, what the Kindle Fire is experiencing here is what in the past OS X had going for it, that really most of the attacks focused on the more popular platforms. For the tablets, of course, that's iOS. However, it's a pretty severe vulnerability. This particular vulnerability allows arbitrary code execution as the root user just by visiting an exploit website. The exploit has been used in a proof of concept to actually read the Etsy shadow file from the Kindle Fire and then crack the root password. Amazon is working on a patch for this vulnerability. If you're running firmware 5.1.0, then you are vulnerable. There is no public update for it yet, but there are some reports that new devices do come with firmware 5.1.1. Part of the problem with this vulnerability is how trivial it is to execute. You don't need to come up with a complex binary or hexadecimal shellcode. You literally can just, via the browser, call operating system commands on the Kindle Fire. Now, the root cause for this appears to be a plugin that is exposed via the browser. But let's move on to iOS. A researcher at the Fraunhofer Institute in Germany discovered a pretty interesting weakness in the way iOS uses its keychain. The keychain in iOS is used to store various user data like passwords, for example, VPN certificates and the like. Among that data, also the PIN number for the SIM card. Now, some providers decide to lock the SIM card with a PIN to prevent stealing the SIM card. Turns out that iOS does not encrypt all parts of the keychain. Some parts of the keychain are encrypted with a password, but other parts are always accessible even if the device is locked, and accessing that data does not require actually entering any kind of a password. The SIM card PIN number is among these issues, and that's one part that's being sort of highlighted in this paper, even though in some circumstances, for example, VPN certificates are also not protected. The SIM card weakness is highlighted here because Apple is actually violating kind of the agreement in using SIM cards. The SIM card standard comes with a number of requirements about how to use the SIM card, and as one of these requirements, the device is not allowed to store this PIN beyond the time it needs to have access to it. The paper doesn't really say why Apple decided to do that, but in my opinion, it's just if you turn your phone off and later turn it on, the phone is able to, for example, link to the cell phone network without the user having to unlock the phone or actually entering a PIN number. And Kaspersky is reporting new malware targeting the Middle East. Kaspersky calls it MADI. Now, kind of an interesting social engineering trick is being used by this malware to install itself. It arrives as a PowerPoint presentation and then essentially asks the user to do sort of various visual tricks, essentially trying to confuse the user, trying to sort of get the user engaged in the presentation. Like some of these typical optical illusions where you first have to look at a white wall, then look at the slide for a certain time. And while you're looking at the slide, well, there are these annoying pop-up dialogues that pop up that you, of course, then click OK in order to proceed with the presentation and actually experiencing the optical illusion. Turns out that some of these dialogue boxes essentially try you if you would like to execute or activate an insert object, and the dialogue actually warns you that this is harmful to your computer and that you should make sure that you received this object from a trustworthy source. But evidently, whoever wrote this assumes that at that time when you actually see this warning, you're so engaged with these optical illusions that you just ignore them and click yes or okay. And then we got an update here for Firefox. Firefox released version 14.01, so that's a minor update. But security-wise, it's interesting because what it will do is that it will enable Google via HTTPS by default. Firefox, when you open it up, it sort of offers Google as its default search engine, and these searches will now go via HTTPS. This is also important for website operators because you will no longer receive a refer. Browsers will not send a refer if they are redirected via a link the user clicks on from an HTTPS site to an other site, an HTTP site. Now, this is to protect any information that an HTTPS site may pass along on the URL. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.